There are some people, aren't there, who will not be saved. And I want to share with you maybe some of the reasons why some people will not be saved. Because we know the scriptures, right? God, absolutely. He loves everyone. God loves every person, no matter what their race is, no matter what their skin color is, no matter what language they speak. You know, 1 Peter says, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God, it's God's will. God would desire for the whole world to be saved. But sadly, some will not be saved. And why is that? Why is that? We want to answer that question. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you so much for your word. I pray you just help us to see in the scriptures some reasons why people will not be saved. And Lord, I sure hope that no one would ever sit in our church services and then one day be lost. One day be lost and die and go to hell, to be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. Father, I believe that your word is true and heaven and hell are real and the lake of fire is eternal. The fire is hot. I believe that heavens are real. It's not just a figment of imagination. There is a place with you. And you want us to be in that place. And Jesus went to prepare a place. And Father, if there's even some here today that maybe are even deceiving their own selves into thinking that they're saved when in reality they may not be, I pray you'd convict them of that if they're not. But Lord, help us to see your word today, see the truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Who will not be saved? Look at John chapter 12, and I want to show you something here today. John chapter 12, and look at verses 32 and 33. Okay, share your Bible with those around you. If you don't have one, let's please be kind and Christian and share with those by us. Okay, you sit next to people, okay, so you can share. John chapter 12 and verses 32 and verse 33. John chapter 12 and verse 32 and 33. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. A few things first I want to make. Three things about the statement of Jesus. Number one, the statement of Jesus was powerful. The statement of Jesus was powerful. Again, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So even in the next verse there, 33, we see it explained that yes, it was even a way of his, you know, telling the disciples that I'm going to be lifted up from the earth. In fact, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. I will be there at the byway. I'll be there at the highway. I'll be there at the road where the passers-by are going to look and see me. You know, when we got to be in the Holy Land, we had someone explain to us that, you know, there we got to see what could be Golgotha, the place of the skull, and got to see the garden tomb not too far away. And there we had a man explain to us that, you know, in reality, the paintings and people's ideas sometimes are really so not true to what it really would have looked like. The idea of a picture of, you know, up somewhere on a hill called Mount Calvary, that there he died. It was called Calvary and it was Golgotha and so on, but it's many times not what people have imagined. Literally, there would have been a place there at Calvary where people would have passed by, people would have walked by, and the soldiers would have even taken people and forced them to look at Jesus. You know, Jesus wasn't way up on some hill and soldiers and people far off looking at him. People were close enough that they heard the words of Jesus on the cross and so on. And can you imagine it would have been just a place passing by where people would have seen outside Jerusalem, seen people hanging on a cross and they saw Jesus. This statement that Jesus made, it was powerful because he knew he was going to be lifted up on a cross to die. If we go back to John chapter 3 and verse 14, we studied this a couple months ago at least. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be what? Be lifted up. And we talked about that and how the serpent being lifted up, people could look to the serpent and they could live. And in the same way, if people would look to Jesus Christ, they can live. We sing a song about that. Jesus Christ, he knew he was going to be lifted up on a cross. He knew that he was going to die there. And so I say that the statement of Jesus was a very, very powerful statement. It was powerful. They may have questioned. There may have been people here that were questioning who he really was. There may be people who did not recognize him for who he really was. We understand that. Look at what verse 34 says. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Who is the Son of Man? There was obviously people that did not even really recognize him for who he really was. But Jesus had taught people even earlier than this that they would know who he really was after they crucified him, after they lifted him up on the cross. Go back to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse number 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of God, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Wasn't there even one looking on who looked and recognized and said, truly, truly this was the Son of God? The statement of Jesus was a powerful statement. He knew he'd be lifted up on the cross to die. I want to say something else. Number two, the statement of Jesus was plain. The statement of Jesus was plain. It was very plain. It was very direct. It was very clear. It was simple. It was straightforward. It was direct. He declared himself. He was clear in who he was declaring himself to be. He was clear in trying to point them to himself as the light of the world. Look at what John 12 and verse 35 says. John chapter 12 and verse 35. Again, going back to 32 and 33, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Verse 35. "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." He was very plain in declaring himself to be the light of the world. "I am the light of the world." Go back to John chapter number 1. John chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9. What does he say there? John chapter 1 verses 1 to 9. "In the beginning was the Word." It's capitalized. It was referring to Jesus. It was another name for Jesus, that he is the living Word of God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was also in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." John chapter 1. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God," verse 6, "whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Jesus declared himself, and we've seen it through the Gospel of John. Jesus was declaring himself plainly as the light of the world. In the midst of darkness, he would be the light. The statement of Jesus was powerful. The statement of Jesus was plain. And number three, the statement of Jesus was purposeful. The statement of Jesus was purposeful. Look back at John chapter 12. Go back to John chapter 12. I know we're jumping back and forth. But look at what it says there. John 12 and verse 36 and verse 37. It says, "While ye have light, believe." That's a key word, right? "Believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they," what? "Believed not on him." The statement of Jesus was purposeful. You know, the reason why Jesus was telling them, "I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up." And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm going to be lifted up and signifying what death he would die. And why was he telling them this? Why was he affirming again or trying to confirm to them again or tell them again that I'm the light of the world. You're going to be in darkness soon and you're going to need me. Why? Because he wanted them to believe. He wanted them to believe. Because if they did not believe, they would be lost. They would be lost. Jesus told them that the light would be with them just a little while longer, verse 35, and that they must choose to believe in the light, verse 36. He wanted them to believe. That was the purpose for him sharing these things. He wanted them to believe. We know a person must believe in order to be saved. Who is it that will not be saved? You know, it said there in verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Isn't that one of the sad verses in the Bible? How is it that Jesus could be there with them? I mean, he walked with them. There were so many people there that were getting to see Jesus, see the miracles he performed, hear Jesus himself speaking and trying to tell them who he was as the Son of God, as the light of God sent into the world. But sadly, many believed not on him. And just as I was studying through the Gospel of John, I just thought about this. Who will not be saved? Who will not be saved? Well, of course, we know it's those that won't believe. But why is it? I mean, why is it that they'll not be saved? Why is it that they won't believe? And I just thought of a few things. Number one, who is it that will not be saved? Proud people. Proud people. Because of pride, many people won't believe. Notice what it says again, verse 37 and verse 38. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know who won't be saved? You know who won't believe? Sadly, many times it's proud people. People who in pride say, I'd rather hold on to what I believe. I'd rather hold on to my religion. I'm okay, and I'm not going to believe that. Sadly, sometimes people won't believe or won't get saved because of pride. Because of pride. Why? Who is it that will not be saved? Or why is it that they won't believe and be saved? Sometimes it's because of pride. Number two, sometimes it's because they're spiritually blinded. Spiritually blinded. Look at verse 39 and 40. John chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah has said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. We know that some people won't be saved because they won't believe, because they're spiritually blind. We talked about that in another week, and I'm not going to focus a lot of time or attention on it, but I say some people won't be saved because they're just spiritually blinded. Their eyes are not open to see Jesus for who he really is. Some won't be saved, some won't believe because of pride. They're just going to refuse to maybe, I don't want to give up what I believe. I don't want to give up my traditions. I don't want to give up my religion. Because of pride, they won't believe. Because of pride, they don't want to humble themselves. They don't think they need God even, or certainly don't think they need Jesus. Who won't be saved? Who won't believe? Proud people. Number two, spiritually blinded people. Who won't be saved? Number three, hard-hearted people. Notice it said as well in that verse about people in their hearts being hardened. Sometimes people's hearts are hard, isn't it? Sometimes you may talk to someone and it just seems like their heart is just so cold. Their heart is just maybe grown so hard. Maybe they've just so much resisted and resisted and resisted, and their heart is now hard to the things of Christ. Their heart is now hardened to the Spirit of God that's trying to work in them, trying to convict them, wants them to come to truth. But because their heart is hard, they won't believe it and they won't get saved. Who will not be saved? Proud people, spiritually blinded people, hard-hearted people. Who will not be saved? Number four, proud people who become too concerned with what others will think of them or say about them if they become a Christian? Who will not be saved? Proud people who become too concerned with what others will think of them or say about them if they become a born-again Christian. Notice what it says in verse 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, this is wonderful, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For, verse 43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Does that mean there that they got saved or that they didn't get saved? Sadly, I think it more likely means that they really did not get saved. Maybe there were some that, you know, wanted to believe on him. And in their heart, they wanted to believe on him. But they weren't willing to confess him. What did Jesus say? You know, whosoever is willing to confess me before men, him will I also confess before the Father. And some people, because, you know, what will people in the synagogue say about me? What will they think about me? And because the Bible says, it uses the word, because they wanted preferred the praise of men, they wouldn't really confess Christ. You know, sometimes people will not be saved because of a pride that makes them too concerned with what others will think of them or say about them if they become a Christian. Elizabeth, I didn't plan this message at all for you, but can I tell you something? We're proud of you. And I know you're living in a hard situation right now, but you know what? It does take courage and it does take a humility that says, you know what? No matter what people may say about me, no matter what people may think about me, no matter if they put me out, no matter if they kick me out, I'm going to believe Jesus and follow him. Sadly, some people, because of pride and because of being too concerned with what others will think of them or say about them, will not become a Christian, will not be saved. Who is it that will not be saved? Proud people, spiritually blinded people, hard-hearted people, proud people who are too concerned with what others will think about them. Number five, those who are unwilling to follow Christ. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 10, if you would. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And let's look there at verses 13 to 27. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 to 27. Listen to these words. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, and I believe it really, many times it does imply too, with the same faith and trusting of like a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Think about those words that he said, and good master, what shall I do? Tell me what I have to do, master. Give me a list of things to do. Tell me what I must do in my religion. Tell me what I'm... It's not about what we must do. It's about who we must believe in. Good master, tell me what I must do that I may inherit eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. You know, I've learned all these things. I've kept these commandments since I was little. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, and notice this phrase, and take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Then the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus entereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust, notice again what their trust is in, that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know what a needle is. You know what a camel is. It'd be easier for a camel to squeeze through the little hole at the end of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You know who's not going to be saved? Those unwilling to follow Christ. Those unwilling to follow Christ. He gives, what a contrast it gives, right? Here's some children that will just trust and believe in Jesus. And here's a man who's not willing to trust Jesus, not willing to follow Jesus. Oh, it takes a childlike faith. Who will not be saved? Proud people. Who will not believe and be saved? Spiritually blinded people, hard-hearted people, proud people who become too concerned with what others will think of them or say about them if they become a Christian. Who will not be saved? Those that are just unwilling to trust and follow Christ. Who will not be saved? Number six, those who refuse to believe. Those who refuse to believe. Go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verses 46 to 48. John chapter 12, verse 46 to 48. Look at it with me. I am come. Again, Jesus makes a plain statement. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Jesus is saying that the God of heaven, he'll judge them. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. God says, you know what? The judge, the righteous judge, the God of heaven, the creator of this universe, he will judge. I've come into the world, the light. I've come that they might have light. I've come that those in walk in darkness can come into the light. I've come that those that are lost in their sin can be saved. I've come to do all of that. I've come to be lifted up on a cross to die so that sinners can be saved. But what do they have to do? They have to believe. If they don't believe, if they reject Christ, they'll be lost. They'll stand before the Creator. They'll be judged. Who will not be saved? Those who refuse to believe. Believing is what it's all about. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, you know it says, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters on, shall have their part in the lake which burns through the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But you know what it says in there that's really the key to it all? The unbelieving. The unbelieving. Because you know what? It doesn't matter what our sin is. It doesn't matter how great our sin is. It doesn't matter if our sin is little or our sin is big. Listen, it's all sin in the eyes of a holy God. And if a person will believe on Jesus Christ, they can be forgiven and they can be saved. But if they won't believe, if they reject Christ, they'll be lost. Who will not be saved? Proud people, spiritually blinded people, hard-hearted people. Proud people who become too concerned with what others will think about them or say about them if they become a Christian. Who will not be saved? Those unwilling to trust and follow Christ. Who will not be saved? Those who refuse to believe. Those who refuse to believe. You know something, it does take a childlike faith and humility to be saved, doesn't it? It takes a childlike faith. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew 18, and we're going to finish. Matthew chapter 18, I told you I wouldn't be long and I was right. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 and 4, look at that with me. The Gospel of Matthew is just the first book of the New Testament. Look at it with me, Matthew 18, verse 3 and 4. Verse 2, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know something? It takes a childlike faith and humility to be saved. Salvation doesn't come from, you know, our proudly boasting about, hey, look at me. Look at what a great Christian I am. Look at all my good works and the good things I do. Because no, we're not saved by anything we do. We are saved by humbly coming to God, admitting we're a sinner, believing on Jesus Christ, trusting Jesus Christ. And you know why that's hard? That's hard for so many people because they grow up and become more and more stubborn. They grow up and become more and more independent in their thinking and mind from God. And that's why God brings it back to this comparison of, hey, you have to be like a little child. You have to have the faith of a little child. You have to have the humility of a little child. Children believe, don't they? When my son is able to come back from church on a Sunday and talk about the things he learned in Sunday school, he believes everything that he heard. Why? Because he has a simple, childlike faith. It's people that have grown older in this world. People that have been taught things, become learned in schools and education systems, and those that have been influenced by the world or by religions and so on and false teachings, that they're the ones that have difficulty. You know what it takes to be saved? It takes a simple childlike faith, a willingness to trust. Many times in my life with our children, different children at different times, there's been times where, you know, they could maybe, jump off a stage into my arms or stand up higher on some stairs and just, you know, fall down to me and trust me to catch them. You know what? We need that simple childlike faith to trust in Jesus as the Savior. Trust Him as our personal Savior. It takes a childlike faith and humility. God saves humble sinners, not proud and self-righteous people. In Luke chapter 18, we read those verses. I think it was even in Sunday school this morning, right? The difference between the publican and the one that was a Pharisee there praying. Thank God I'm not like all the sinners and all of them. But the one that was just humbled himself and knew he was a sinner is the one that Jesus said would be justified. Justified. It takes a childlike faith and humility to be saved. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Will you be honest about your sinful, lost condition and be humble enough to admit your need for the Savior? Will you believe on Christ? Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Will you be unashamed to trust Christ, to forsake religion, to face criticism in order to become a Christian? Romans 10:9-11 says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever believeth on Him is not ashamed. He's not ashamed. Let's not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let's not be ashamed of Him. Who will not be saved? Proud people, spiritually blinded people, hard-hearted people. Those unwilling to trust and follow, those who refuse to believe. I thank God for people that will believe and follow Christ. Let's unashamedly follow Christ. Let's point others to Christ. The one who, as He said, was lifted up on the cross. All we can do is tell people about Him. All we can do is, with a heart of love and compassion, try to share with people what Jesus has done and what He did to be our Savior. It's up to them whether or not they'll choose to believe.